welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brower Show with your host, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And this is Ted Brower, and I am so glad that you are with us today. Thank you for joining us. My guest today is John Moore. He's been a friend of mine for a long, long time, I guess pushing 10 years now. He has his own radio show. We'll ask him questions about that and how you can listen to him on that show. And he'll be with me for the entire hour. So I've got some exciting news for you guys. Austin had his baby with Lana about 1:42, probably an hour and 15 minutes ago. So Austin won't be on here with me. It's a little baby boy, right at 8 pounds. So we're all excited about that. So it'll be pretty exciting to have him back on Monday to talk about the birth and what he experienced and everything else. So I'm glad that you guys are with us again today. And John, thank you so much for joining me today. And do you have anything specific you want to talk about today, John?
Well, Ted, something near and dear to your heart, and that's the what amounts to Muslim invasion of Germany. I think it's an outrageous thing, and that Angela Merkel is quite frankly committing treason against the countries that she's the leader of.
Well, no, you know, it's funny, John, because last December, when this mess was a full bore, we went over to Europe, and I went over to Prague, I went over to Budapest, we went over to Austria, and I wanted to see what was going on, and it's as bad as they say it is. And in fact, when I left Czechoslovakia and I went north and going into Dresden, into Germany, the entire border was closed with military personnel, you know, with the AR-15s and the M-16s or whatever they had out there. I have no idea what they were running.
Right.
But they were stopping all the vehicles to make sure we weren't bringing Muslims into Europe. Angela Merkel has single-handedly destroyed Europe, destroyed Germany. It won't be felt for a few more years because the country is so wealthy, but the Rothschild banking cartel had to find a way to stop their surplus, and they're doing the old Cloward Pivot on them also now. And in fact, Germany was so prosperous they were running into these huge export surpluses, so they were actually able to stay out of debt. And so even though they were borrowing money from their Federal Reserve Bank there through the European Union, the German economy was doing great. I guess they couldn't have that, could they, John? So what's your take on this?
Well, first of all, you need to look at Angela Merkel's background. She was born and raised in communist East Germany.
That's right.
And I think she's answering to her handlers in this. My question to you, Ted, is when is she up for election again, or is she going to be out of office soon regardless?
She has an election coming up just in a few months. And she basically has received a no-confidence vote from the majority of her party at this point. And they have a little different electoral system over there in Europe. They don't just vote for the person. They vote for the party that's in charge. And apparently she's not going to be reelected, and her party's going to lose its majority. And according to my friends and my family that live there, that's what they've told me, that she will not be in office again.
And well, that's good.
Apparently, yeah. She has a bunch of land in Paraguay down there by George Bush. She's moving there, you know. She destroyed that country. That country's done.
Well, I don't know that it's done or not, but hopefully they could get a party in office that would mitigate as much as they could what's going on with these military-age young men coming into the country and raping the women and all the things they're doing that are so absolutely disastrous. You think it's beyond salvage? Is that your opinion?
Well, yes, because remember, the German birth rate was only about 1.4, 1.5. So what was happening, literally every 20 years, the population of true Germans were being cut in half. This is all from the propaganda, John, that was being done after World War II, and basically the onslaught of the Rothschild banking community against the German people themselves, which is what a third of the population of Germany was killed during World War II, including women and children, many of whom were killed by the Soviets. Over several million died from starvation after the war, intentionally brought around by Truman. And so the whole thing is just kind of awful what they've done to the European people over there, especially to the Germans. And of course, Germany is still under occupation from World War II with all the military bases there. And it's just the culture of Germany. And this is what I meant. The German people, the hard-working, industrialized people of Germany, they're no longer going to have the abilities that they've had in the past to produce some of the highest quality goods in the world because they're no longer raising little Germans. In fact, Angela Merkel said about 5 years ago that within 25 to 30 years that Germany would be a Muslim country. So what she's doing is just facilitating that transition with mosques literally all over the place in Germany now, even in the smaller villages. The German people are in uproar about what's happened. The problem is there's 10 million more people in the pipeline, and it's all clogged up now because many of the borders are being closed. We talked about that yesterday on the show. And sadly, it's going to be one of those situations where Angela Merkel is going to go down in history as probably the worst chancellor that Germany has ever had because this take that she did on this. And she could have stopped this at any time she wanted to, but now she's basically mobilized through George Soros 10 million people. And in fact, the goal is, according to the research that I've read, they want to bring 100 million Muslims, and they want to call it like Eurasia into Europe. And so that's probably what's going to happen within the next 5 to 10 years, and it's going to completely change the culture. And Germany, as we know it, as you know, as the fatherland, as the Rhineland, as you know, as Bavaria, will all change and have a Muslim flair to it. And we'll see if the Muslims who are coming out of these third world countries, John, can continue the industrial might of Germany. It'll be interesting to see.
Well, they can't and they won't. I found out something. It's been a year ago, January, so we're looking at not quite a year and a half, Ted, that explained to me, I live in my hometown, St. Louis, and that's where Boeing is, and you can't live in St. Louis and not know people associated with Boeing aircraft. So I was getting reports about the flight instructors for the F-15s in Saudi Arabia, and how on Tuesday morning they would have to reteach basically everything they taught on Monday morning. And it didn't make any sense to me until I found out the following. And that's one of the things that Muhammad encouraged through the Quran, is marrying your first cousin. Now, Ted, you're a medical healthcare professional, and you know that if you marry your first cousin in one generation, there's a high likelihood of reduced IQ, birth defects, and insanity. Well, they've been doing it for 50 generations, Ted, which means their DNA is forever irretrievably broken. It cannot be fixed. Every Muslim country has at least 50% inbreeding. The worst is Pakistan, with about 75% inbreeding. And it's just beyond repair, Ted. So the answer to your question about how industrious these Muslims are going to be is answered by the following. Their IQ is too low. If you have an IQ of 75, the likelihood of you being very productive at anything of any consequence is slim to none. So that's what's coming in there, are low IQ men and women that have been inbred for 50 generations. In fact, in England, Ted, 2% of all babies, and you became a grandfather just a few hours ago, 2% of the babies born in England have birth defects. Half of all the birth defects, however, are in the Pakistani community in England. That's how bad it is, Ted.
Well, you know, you're right, John. If you could get away from it, if you've got pretty good genetic diversity, you know, because in most states, even in the United States, it's legal for you to marry your first cousin, even in the United States. But the problem is you can't be repeatedly doing that over and over and over again, because what ends up happening is you're either going to have somebody who's really, really smart who picks up a lot of the really high IQ tendencies, or you're going to have people that are going to have medical defects and low IQ scores. But if you do it generation upon generation upon generation, you're absolutely right. It's like inbreeding dogs or cats, and you hate to say that and make that like human beings are like that, but we are mammals, and you can't do that from a genetic standpoint. You must maintain genetic diversity. And so I didn't realize they did that, John. So that explains a lot.
Well, it explains a lot. Like, for example, how do you convince a healthy young man or a healthy young woman to go blow themselves up? Well, if they're zipping along with a 70 or 75 IQ, it becomes a lot easier to do that, doesn't it, Ted?
Well, yes. I never thought about that, John, but you're absolutely right. But you are correct. I've talked to many Muslims over the years, and none of them have really impressed me with being, you know, high IQ, you know, Mensa students. In fact, I haven't seen one. And so that, you're right, that makes sense. That's why they get so caught up into the worship of Muhammad, the seven times a day, you know, bowing to Mecca. It's a lot easier to get people to comply with those types of rules and regulations when they really can't think through a complex problem. They really is.
They can't. And it's just a sad fact of life. Now, I also found out recently some things about Muslims that part one of this, what I'm about to tell you, is fairly common knowledge, but part two isn't. and it has to do with personal hygiene. Now, what Muslims, the goal of most Muslims who are devout is to emulate the life of Muhammad. Now, since Muhammad did not use toilet paper, devout Muslims don't use toilet paper either. But in addition, since Muhammad did not use soap, devout Muslims don't use soap either. So it's a really bad combination. Next time you're in a restaurant, Ted, and you see a restaurant worker, a female Muslim, just remember that when she comes out of the bathroom, there's as much toilet paper and soap as when she walked in the door.
I don't really know how to deal with that, John. I have to assume that when they get into our westernized, culture that they don't do that. But I mean, I guess if it's bred within, I think, of course, if they're coming directly.
Well, it's bad. I first heard about this. A friend of mine, he lives. You've been to my home. He lives a 5-10 minute drive from me here. He was a contractor in Metro Chicago, building homes that cost $1.5 to $1 million, and he had several Muslim customers that were getting homes. So he's looking at the blueprints for the first Muslim customer of a $500,000 home. And he said to the architect, there's a mistake here. There's no toilet paper holders in any of the bathrooms. And the architect said, no, that's not a mistake.
Well, that blows my mind. I don't understand that. I mean,
These are the educated, financially well-off Muslims that don't have toilet paper holders in their $500,000, $750,000, $1 million homestead.
Well, maybe they're using a bidet. I hope they're using a bidet, John. Okay, let me read you another story. Let's get off Muslims and toilet paper. Let me read a new story to you. I want to get your take on this. This is from the Free Thought Project. It says, a Navy veteran makes the ultimate sacrifice. He sets himself on fire to protect the VA's lack of health care. This, he said, he doused himself in gasoline. A former chief petty officer stood outside of the Veterans Affairs outpatient clinic where he lit himself on fire and eventually died 9 hours later. His wife recently confirmed that her husband was upset with the inadequate care that he had been receiving at the VA facility shortly before his suicide, a 7-year veteran of the U.S. Navy. Charles Ingram III had walked 9 miles from his home past an American Legion Park and Military Veteran Memorial before arriving at the parking lot of the VA community-based outpatient clinic at 1 p.m. on Saturday. While standing on the grass lawn near the clinic, the 51-year-old poured several gallons of gasoline on himself before committing self-immolation. A 7-year veteran of the U.S. Navy, Charles Ingram III, had walked 9 miles before he committed suicide. What in the world would drive somebody to do this? I mean, give me your take on this, John. And
well,
I'm
familiar with the story. Well, he had lost his job, lost his wife, and his health was in poor condition. So everything stacked up on top of him to where he saw no way out. As frequently is said, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And it's a sad situation. What we don't know, because the story didn't tell us, was he taking psychotropic drugs? And that's a big question in my mind. We've got 20, 22 veterans a day committing suicide, the majority of which were never in combat, by the way. But I'm sure that almost all of them are taking psychotropic drugs, the side effects of which are well known to be depression and suicidal tendencies. So these drugs might be responsible for this man's suicide. We don't know because the story is lacking that detail. I'm old enough to remember, Ted, when the Buddhist monks were committing a suicide by self-immolation in Vietnam. And it gained front-page headlines in every newspaper on the planet. That was their intent. As you know, Ted, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I was a military intelligence in Vietnam. And there was an entire religious component to the Vietnam War that very few people are aware of, even most Vietnam vets aren't aware of. But the French came to Vietnam in about 1850 or so. They converted a lot of the Buddhists there to become Catholics, and they made them the ruling class. And that's pretty much the way colonial power do it wherever they go. They take a minority and put them in charge. So the minority Catholics were put in charge in Vietnam by the French Catholics. And that's one of the big reasons they never could get support among the common people, because 95% of the people in Vietnam were Buddhist. And get to any level of high trust and responsibility and authority within the Vietnamese government or the Vietnamese military if you were a Buddhist. There was one exception. There was one Buddhist general who was a true warrior and a great general, but he was an outstanding exception. So what happened with this American Navy veteran was a tragedy, and I hope some details come out as to whether this man was in fact taking psychotropic drugs prescribed by the Veterans Administration, Ted.
You know what's interesting, John? I've known multiple people who are taking psychotropic drugs who killed themselves. Let me just give you several examples. And it's always, it's not just they just don't take a dose of sleeping pills in 99% of the cases. It's some kind of elaborate death, and it's some kind of horrible death. It's like they're punishing themselves. I remember I had a friend of mine come in my office when we had our clinic back in the 80s, and I'll never forget his daughter was taking psychotropic drugs, and she actually went in and sat in a red ant bed. We have red ants, fire ants down here in Florida. And she let these fire ants crawl all over her to try to kill herself. And she had literally thousands of bites, and she had to be taken to the... He found her out there. She was already pretty much passed out, laying in this ant bed, and done it on purpose. He had to rush her to the emergency room. She was on Prozac, which, of course, back then, they didn't have the black box warning on this for his daughter, who was like 15 years old, who decided she was going to kill herself with red ants. Another gentleman, he was one of my patients that had come in. He was having severe problems with depression. I warned him against psychotropic drugs because of the fact that they cause suicide behaviors. He didn't listen to me. He got off the protocol. Several years later, his wife called me up in tears and told his name was Jim, and he had gone out back and committed suicide, you know, and blown his head off with a shotgun. So these crazy behaviors are commonplace. Another young man, a gentleman called me up after we had put out the book Maximum Solutions, ADD and Autism, and I'd warned against the use of psychotropic drugs in children, and he called me up here at the house. He was in tears because his honor student, 16, 17-year-old junior, senior honor student, had hung himself in his bedroom. Then the final one I'm going to bring it up to because he said this is also depressing. But I'm warning you guys, I know of these people personally, okay? And I could tell you more stories, but I don't want to make the whole show about this. But this guy also, he worked for Lazy Days RV Center in Tampa. And this is a huge RV dealership in Tampa. I'm not going to mention his name because it's out of respect to him. May he rest in peace. And he had gotten his job, had been cut, his salary had been cut. He was like a huge manager there. And he had a Hummer, an H2. And he got in his H2 Hummer, he rolled his windows down about 4 inches so nobody could get their hands inside. And he took 5 gallons of gasoline and he coated himself in the inside of the Hummer with the 5 gallons of gasoline. He knew if you rolled the windows up all the way, the fire would go out almost immediately. But he rolled it down low enough to let air get to the flames so he could sit in there and burn alive. Then he lit himself up. And of course, they immediately saw what was happening. They came in there with the fire hose. They got him out of the car, broke the windows, opened the doors. Of course, 95% burns all over his body. He was in excruciating pain, still conscious, ended up going to the hospital, dying several hours later. This is the problem with these psychotropic drugs. And you see, and when I wrote the book, Maximum Solutions to ADD and Autism, John, back in the early 2000s, I had gone back through every single incident of Columbine and all of these children who were killing people in high schools, and I found that every single case where you could get the medical records of these children, every single time, including these things that happened like in Aurora, Colorado, every single time these kids have gotten wound up on these different drugs, usually they take a combination of Ritalin, which is like an amphetamine, and Prozac, and all these different types of things, and they take and combine them together, and their brain just snaps, and they do these crazy, bizarre behaviors, like going out and killing 10 people, then killing themselves. I've seen it over and over and over again. So you're absolutely right, John, when you call the attention to this guy doing this. But the problem that I have, John, is he's not going to prove anything by this. He's not going to make any point by this. I mean, nobody's going to see anything but some crazy veteran who went and killed himself.
Right.
He's not going to change anything. What do you think?
Well, I agree. And clearly and obviously, a person who is in that extreme level of distress is not using logic at any point. He's at his wit's end. It's an extreme level of distress, emotional distress, physical distress from whatever things was going on from the Navy when he was in the Navy. And it's a tragedy any way you look at it. I belong to the Special Forces Association, and there's comments among the men. We all stay in touch with each other about the 22 veterans a day dying of suicide. at the worst part of the Vietnam War, we were losing 12 to 15 average a day. So it's just a tragedy on top of tragedy that men and women that serve their country come back here, get put on these psychotropic drugs by these alleged healthcare professionals. And it's so ironic, Ted, that the side effects of what they're giving you duplicate what they're giving it to you for in the first place. How ironic is that?
Well, what it does, John, from a chemical standpoint, is these SSRIs, these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, what they do is the serotonin is like a feel-good chemical in the brain. And when your brain cells release this, it makes you feel really good. And what happens is it's only there for a few seconds and it goes away because you're not supposed to be on this euphoric high all the time. And then the body takes that serotonin and it recycles it and it reuses it to produce more raw materials for serotonin. What it does, the serotonin reuptake inhibitor, it inhibits that process. And so the serotonin stays longer in the brain, is more used up, but it doesn't get as recycled as easily. And then after a point in time, with a lot of people, since they don't have the raw materials to continue to manufacture the serotonin, their body goes into a deficiency of serotonin. And even with the Prozac, it doesn't help. It makes it worse, actually. And so all of a sudden, they get to this unbelievable low point in their life where they're not producing the serotonin, and they become so despondent, they start having these crazy suicidal ideas with these grandiose schemes on how to kill themselves with other people. I've heard some crazy stuff when I was a practicing clinician, and I've learned over the years that serotonin reuptake inhibitors are dangerous. So are the other drugs like the Xanax and all these other things that are out there. And so you've got to stay away from all of these different types of chemicals in the brain. 5-HTP, 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan, omega-3 fats like cod liver oil, and methylated activated B vitamins in almost every single case by using a combination stack of those three. And you can combine them with magnesium, especially the foot bath magnesium that we use at healthmasters.com. If you combine those four products together, it's incredible what it'll do for your energy and for your moods almost immediately within a couple of days, because about 40 to 50% of the population can't metabolize B vitamins unless they're methylated, and hardly anybody sells methylated vitamins because they're too expensive. They don't sell them. They'd rather get the cheap stuff coming out of China where they can pay 29 cents a bottle for B vitamins. You know, gosh, my cost on my B vitamins is over $20 for a little bottle. That's my product cost because they're so expensive to make. But they work. And see, the people don't understand. If they're not methylated, the mitochondria can't use them. And so they can't be utilized for the energy cycle. And you get really, really down mentally. So we've had tremendous results with people that have had mood swings just using that stack together. And I've seen it repeatedly, John. It's really an easy problem to fix. It's kind of like high blood pressure. That's pretty easy to maintain lifestyle choices with that. And also with adult onset diabetes. The problem is the vast majority of the people simply don't know how to do it. Is that what you've seen too, John?
Yeah. Well, I agree. And I'm at age now, I'm 68 years old, where going to a high school reunion has become a very scary thing. And it's all a consequence of two things, Ted: what people eat and what they don't eat. And it's so unnecessary to see my peers suffering the way they are, working hard all their lives so they could enjoy a retirement, but not able to enjoy a retirement because of the consequences of lifestyle. And of course, so many of them are dying at an early age. And it's all completely unnecessary, and all it would take would be educating people, which is no small thing, and letting people know that these lifestyle choices have very severe consequences, and they need to get the information so they can eat the correct foods and not eat the incorrect foods. What do you think, Ted?
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, the Bible tells you there are certain foods to avoid and certain foods to eat. Of course, it doesn't address the GMO issue, but it talks about don't mingle seeds, which is basically forming GMO products. In addition to that, it tells you not to eat pork, not to eat shellfish, not to eat snakes, not to eat lobster, not to eat rats. You know, I mean, it's just common sense stuff. But the reality is a lot of people eat all kinds of crazy things like wild hogs that are filled with parasites. And then because of that, they literally suffer the diseases of the damned. And I mean that very sincerely. I mean, Alzheimer's disease is a nightmare. Senile dementia is a nightmare. And of course, when you combine three flu shots in a row, you have a 50% increase in senile dementia because of the mercury content and because of the aluminum content of the shots. And this is what we tell our patients all the time and our customers all the time. Look, guys, if you're going to do shots, you need to understand what you're doing, what you're putting into your body. In addition to that, if you're eating GMO foods, you got to take a look at what's going on with that too. So yes, you're absolutely right, John. I told my friends years ago, back, I remember when I was in high school and college, and I was eating real clean and and I was taking vitamins and supplements, and, you know, I was still in school and in college, and I say, look, guys, I'm not going to have all of these horrible health problems like I see my parents have. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take care of myself, and I'm going to eat right. And when I get in my 60s, I'm going to have top mental acuity. I'm going to feel great. They all laughed at me. Well, they don't laugh anymore. Because the truth of the matter is almost everybody in my senior class now who's 60 years old or 61 years old, they look absolutely awful. You know, they look like they're 20 years, 25 years older than I am. I feel great. I still work out 6 days a week like you. You're in great shape. I mean, you ride your motorcycle. I mean, you look like you're 40 years old. And I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you practice what you preach. And that's why I've been wanting to get you on the show. John, how can people learn more about you? What's your website? How can they hear your show?
My website is thelibertyman.com. I'm on live on the radio Monday through Friday, 0600 to 0800 Central Time, and that's on Republic Broadcasting. You can listen live. You can listen to the archives. And, when I bought my motorcycle 5 years ago, I would have been, 63? I went to a medical doctor for the first time since 1985 because I had to get an insurance-mandated checkup. Actually, the insurance company had me go to two different clinics. They couldn't believe a man 63 years old took no prescription medications and had taken none since 1985 and not been to a medical doctor since 1985. They thought, this guy must be lying. So after going to two clinics, I finally convinced them that, yeah, I really am as healthy as I am, and I got my insurance policy. But I was kind of kidding. This is something that you can make use of yourself, Ted. If you happen to watch the film about Woodstock, the music festival in 1969?
I haven't seen it, John. I saw part of it a long time.
Okay, if you did, well, you may want to watch it for the following reason. I was joking about this on my show the other day. I said, ladies and gentlemen, I watched the movie Woodstock the other day, and they were practicing discrimination at the gate. They did not allow any fat people among the million people they let into the gate. They didn't allow any fat people into the gate at Woodstock.
There weren't any fat people, John.
That's right. You got it. It took a while for the synapses to snap, but that's right. There weren't any fat people in 1969. We had a million people between ages of 16 and 30, and if you look really carefully, you may find one chubby person out of 100 if you look really, really carefully among the million people that were there that weekend at Woodstock, New York, in the fall of 1969.
Were you there, John?
I was supposed to be there. I was invited to go. I had limited financial resources. I went to the U.S. Grand Prix at Watkins Glen in New York 2 weeks before, and I couldn't afford to go both since I was in the Army and struggling financially. But I was invited, and it would have been a hoot.
I was only 14 years old in 1969, so there's no way I was going to get in. But it was interesting. I remember the 50s and the 60s, and it was a golden time in the United States when we had won World War II, and, you know, then the Vietnam War happened, and it started getting kind of sideways on us, and then we started having all the rioting and all the stuff in the United States. And the reason that people were rioting, and you could attest to this too, John, the reason they were rioting, it was because the draft had been implemented. And their sons and their daughters were being drafted who did not want to go to Vietnam, and these boys were being killed by the tens of thousands, and the people in the United States finally had enough of it. Now that we have a all-volunteer force, and it's primarily minorities and lower echelon kids as far as who don't have any money who have to go to the military, in most cases, unless they're officers, we don't care. Nobody cares how many people die or get killed or get maimed anymore because they're not being forced to go. They're going voluntarily. And you think I'm right about that?
No, you know, you are right, and the military recruits from working class America, the youngsters who come from a privileged background, going in the military is something that it's not even something they even think about. It's not on their radar at all.
Well, you know, it's funny because about 8 years ago, right before Obama won the election, Austin graduated from college at the age of 19 with his bachelor's degree. And they took that MVAT or whatever that test is that they take he took that test when he was 19 years old, scored super high on it, passed the first time he took it. So they wanted him in as a Marine Corps officer at the age of 19, John. And then all of a sudden I told him, I said, well, if you want to do this, you can, Austin. I said, but remember, you've never had any immunizations. So if you go in, you're going to get jabbed up. And he goes, well, they told me they'll give it to me in writing that I won't have to take any immunizations. And I said, well, I told you. I said, that's a lie. And I said, the guy may tell you that, your recruiter may tell you that, but once you show that piece of paper to the person who is about to jab you, they're going to laugh at you and say, he didn't have the authority to do this. Secondly, what they're going to do, if they didn't give you immunizations, they're never going to put you into a field of combat or into a theater overseas. They're not going to do it because they don't want to take a chance. And so he didn't do it. Of course, he didn't do it because Obama had won the election. And he goes, Dad, I don't want to serve under Obama. But, of course, serving under Obama was like serving under George W. Bush or serving underneath Clinton or serving under George H. Bush. It doesn't make a difference. They're all the same group. They're all the same group of Nazis and fascists that are running the government. And so that's what people don't understand. The only person we have that I know, John, in this new election, I've never asked you about this on the air, so I don't want to put you on the spot, is Donald Trump. He's like the only person that everybody seems to hate, including the Republican Party, which tells me they're really scared of him. What do you think about Trump?
Well, Donald Trump has a self-made man. I don't know what his background was, but his wealth came from his own work effort. He's got more name recognition than anybody because he's been on television for so many years with the various TV programs he's done. I believe Donald Trump is who he claims to be. I don't see anybody else. Rubio and Cruz, neither one of them are qualified to be president because of their circumstances of their birth. These other guys, I don't know anything about them. They really don't care to. if Ron Paul was running or Rand Paul, I certainly might consider those guys. But Donald Trump has the best chance of helping this country, if anybody does. I'll be shocked if they allow him to become the candidate, let alone become president, because he does not fit the mold of somebody that they control. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't want their money. In fact, it was kind of funny when he was addressing a Jewish audience in New York City. One of the first things he told them was, I'm not here to ask you for money. And that's unheard of in a political speech, especially among a wealthy audience. Which many of these men and women were, of course. So that gives him a big leg up. He doesn't need their money. If there was any genuine dirt on Donald Trump, it would have been exposed by now. But there isn't. And you know that between the Democratic Party and all these reporters, they're going through everything in his life back to kindergarten, and they found nothing of any consequence, Ted, which tells me a lot right there. There's nothing of any consequence adverse in this man's background. He's at a point in his life, you know, he and I are about the same age. I don't know his age, but he's close to my age. And you start looking at life a bit differently when you're a grandfather, and you just recently became one. And looking at his legacy and what he's leaving for his grandchildren, and that's probably what he's thinking about.
You know, it's true, John, because I remember, and I've mentioned this on my show today, but you've not heard me say this, and I'll say it again. We have so many new listeners every day that I really, you know, I might as well say it a couple of times. When John F. Kennedy had that PT boat shot out from underneath him, his globalist family running all that alcohol through prohibition, all the stuff they did to make all the many millions of dollars of political influence that the Kennedys had, he had an epiphany. When he was on that island, trying not to get killed by the Japanese, he had an epiphany. Now, his older brother already gotten killed, you know that. He had an epiphany not to allow the country to go down the toilet bowl. And so he came out with his speech with the newspaper society about these secret societies and how you could expose them all. He knew what was going on, and he'd had enough of it. He knew they were running the drugs out of Vietnam. He wanted to stop. That's one of the reasons, John, that they put the Catholics in charge in Vietnam, because that Cambodian Triangle was bringing in so much heroin into the United States, into the nightclubs in Harlem through Operation Gladio, and then of course in South America, Operation Condor, that they didn't want to have they didn't want to lose all that. And the Catholics were doing that, and they were laundering the money through the Vatican Bank. You already know that. And so what was interesting about all of this is that's how I look at Donald Trump. I believe, like you said, he's a grandfather. He's seen the best days of the country behind him. He now sees these globalist corporations have taken over the United States, and they're trying to destroy the country and trying to create a North American Union, which Heidi Cruz worked with the CFR to write the whole document on the North American Union to get rid of the borders between Mexico, United States, and Canada. She was one of the architects of that document. And sadly about it is nobody wants to talk about that on mainstream. In fact, Trump should have talked about that, but he did not. And so it's sad that these guys are actually considering Ted Cruz, and he's such a snake. He really is.
Right. Well, I was at the home of a woman who has been the campaign manager for three different presidential candidates this past August. And two of her advisors were there, and we were discussing Donald Trump and his campaign and how most of his public discourse is at a third-grade level. And that's by design. He talks at a third-grade level to be able to reach pretty much the entire electorate, although I'm sure in private he talks like the educated man he is. he can segue into talking in language the common man and woman can understand, and he's tapped into a level of anger in middle America that I haven't seen. Last summer I would have said going back to the Ross Perot
60s.
Campaign.
Or the 60s.
But I haven't seen anything in my... even Goldwater or those guys, a level of anger I've never seen in this country when it comes to people rising up to support a candidate for President of the United States. And it's scaring the pants off the bankers. It's scaring the pants off the country club Republicans. The Democrats are scared to death. I truly hope that Donald Trump will not only get the nomination, but he will remain unharmed and be able to be elected president and have good security and be able to finish a term and do some good for us.
I agree with you, John. In fact, my thing, and I've said this before, I've not seen this level of grassroots anger since the 60s in the protests, in the Vietnam War protests, and wanting to get Johnson out of office, and what a scumbucket he was being involved in the assassination of Kennedy and all the other stuff that he did. I mean, this is the anger that I see building now, and we haven't seen this now for over 50 years in the United States. Of course, everybody's been dumbed down on fluoride, they've been dumbed down on statin drugs, they've been dumbed down on the psychotropic drugs. I mean, you know, I tell my friends, I say, well, the problem is, I said, the preachers don't go preach us from the pulpit. They don't tell the people the truth from the pulpit. A lot of preachers that I know are taking psychiatric drugs. A lot of preachers that I know are having problems with depression. A lot of preachers that I know are under the care of a psychiatrist. And I'm like, are you joking me? You're in the pulpit trying to help everybody to get through their issues and their problems, and you're having to see a shrink, and you're on psychotropic drugs and psychiatric drugs in order to get through your own life. Well, you need to probably step down from the pulpit and not be giving people advice if you can't handle your own problems like that. What do you think, John?
Well, I agree. And letting these men and women, you know, would it be a fair statement that the basis for modern psychology and psychiatry is a man named Sigmund Freud?
The perverted cocaine addict from the 1800s.
Well, he was a publicly admitted cocaine addict.
That's
who
right.
Also publicly advocated the use of cocaine.
Right.
And this man, his work, his writings and beliefs became the foundation for modern psychiatry.
That's correct. That is correct. And then it went right through the University of Leipzig and into the United States with their problem action solution and with B.F. Skinner and all the stuff they brought over here to basically program us all like animals, which is what they've been doing with the Bernays stuff that they've been doing. And they were taught with the father, who was the father of advertising. In fact, Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, said that Edward Bernays was like his big hero because he actually taught him how to use propaganda in Germany, because the United States had used Bernays to get the World War I interest in the United States to promote going to war against Germany in World War I, when most of the American people knew there was absolutely no reason to go fight a war in Europe and kill their people. But of course, the bankers wanted that because they wanted the United States in the deep debt. But let me bring another world news story up today. It says, okay. U.S. Saudi Turkey discovers delivering, the U.S. and Saudi and Turkey are discussing delivering anti-aircraft weapons to rebels for use against Russia. This is from the Activist Post. The CIA is reportedly discussing a plan to augment the fighting capability of the terrorist forces that they've been supporting in Syria since the beginning of the crisis in 2011, if the ceasefire agreement currently underway in Geneva falls apart. The discussion is centered around the possibility of sending a variety of anti-aircraft technologies ranging from man-portable air defense systems to less portable systems, including Soviet-era BM-21 Grad missiles. Of course, the provision of the man pads to all Al-Qaeda and ISIS terrorists poses a number of threats to civilized peoples. First, if the terrorists in possession of the means which down aircraft from the ground, civilian passenger aircraft and all over the world would find itself in danger of being taken out of the sky as a result of terror attacks aimed at sensitive targets. Secondly, if terrorist rebels are in possession of a sizable army of man pads, a new and greater threat to Syrian and Russian air forces will be present. According to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. officials have already addressed this issue with their Russian counterparts and have done so in a manner that resembles a threat much more than a genuine discussion. In other words, we're warning Russia that we're about to give anti-aircraft technology to the rebels. Why? John, what do you think about this? I won't even make a comment.
That's what's going on top of the table. 3 months ago, we got a rare glimpse of what's been going on underneath the table, and that was, and hopefully still is, without the knowledge or consent of Barack Obama or his chief advisors, there are top people in the U.S. military cooperating with and coordinating with the Russian military to take out the ISIS and the Muslims there in Syria. So that was a very unusual thing to even have that become public record, Ted, that our top military people were working with the top Russian people without the knowledge or consent of the administration to take out the rebels, to take out ISIS. So hopefully that's still going on, and the men and women who are loyal and patriotic Americans will do the right thing to wipe out ISIS. And Russia, quite frankly, can and should be our natural allies. I was shocked and didn't believe it at first, but I see Vladimir Putin wearing a Christian cross publicly. From what I'm reading and seeing, Christianity is making a very public comeback in Russia. And Russia can and should be our natural allies, not our enemies. It's a very sad situation where people that we are so close to ethnically and culturally have become our enemies for no good reason. And it should not be that way, Ted.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Russian Revolution was caused by the Rothschild banking community basically financing the whole thing because they wanted to put a central bank into Russia and take over their monetary system. And so they allowed the entire Russian royal hierarchy to be murdered and killed. And then in addition to that, then Stalin came in and killed another 50 to 60 or 70 million people along with Lenin. I mean, the whole thing was a disaster over there. I think Putin has seen that. So Putin knows that these bankers have done this.
Of course he does.
But here's the thing that most people don't know, John. Rothschilds have the bank in Russia. There's the central bank in Russia is controlled by the Rothschilds, and Putin has repeatedly threatened to throw them out because he doesn't want to deal with them because they're such scum. That's what they are. They're just complete and total satanic scum who like to sacrifice kids. I mean, they're weirdos, a bunch of pedophiles, and so he wants to get rid of them. And Russia is actually making a huge comeback, and they become like the star in the night for the whole planet as far as what's possible. Now Russia is offering free land for people who want to immigrate into Russia because they're saying that they welcome everybody other than Muslims. They don't like it. They don't want even Muslims. And so this is the thing that I don't get, is that you're absolutely right, because you and I we're all Cold War babies. You know, we were around a long, long time ago. You were born in, what, 46, I guess. I was born in 55,
47. Yeah.
And so, you know, so we saw the whole thing with Russia and the Cold War. And quite frankly, I believe a whole bunch of that was obfuscation by the military-industrial complex to try to generate more and more revenue for certain corporations the CIA was funding to their black ops. That's why they were doing all of that, because I don't believe that Russia was that big enemy of us. I believe that if you read the book Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr, I'm sure you've read that book, he goes into detail of how Russia really won World War II because they got almost all of Europe as their satellite states, and how Russia was given this authority through the Rothschild banking cartel to drive Christianity from these countries, and so through communism. And it's an incredible book that everybody needs to read. It's free online. It's a free PDF. And what's also interesting is that now we have this fascism that's crept in through Operation Paperclip and through all these people like the Bush family and the Rockefeller family and the Ford family, who are all big proponents of Hitler. Now that's coming to the United States. And so we're having this huge corporate takeover, a fascist socialist takeover of the United States, trying to bring us into a one world government with their thousand points of lights. And this is what's going on, John. And see, the problem is, unless you understand that Lucifer's behind this whole big package and that these guys are a bunch of Satanists, you don't really understand that these guys claim to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen, and they trace their lineage all the way back to Nimrod. So, I mean, what's your big picture on this, John? I mean, I just kind of gave you a snapshot of what I think it is. What do you see the whole thing looking as?
Well, Vladimir Putin, he was a colonel in the KGB before he got involved in politics. He's also a multi-billionaire in his own right.
Yes, that's right.
And his friends and his associates, his social circle includes the other multi-billionaires that oligarchs, as they're called over there. That obviously two things. First of all, they want to maintain their own personal wealth and status, but also these men are patriots. They love their country. They love Mother Russia. And that's another component of it. They're not just greedy businessmen or greedy criminals. They're men and women who love their country, and they know their history. And Vladimir Putin is nobody to be taken lightly. This is a guy who goes hunting tigers with a spear. I mean, you know, seriously.
I know, it's crazy.
And, you know, he's a tough guy. I mean, he's a physically tough guy. And I recall talking publicly a few months ago on my show how I never thought in my life I would be admiring the publicly stated statements of the president of Russia and discounting and making fun of the public statements of my own president. But that's where I find myself. And how ironic is that, Ted?
Well, no, it is, because we're Cold War babies. I mean, they were teaching us to stick our heads underneath the doggone desk so we wouldn't have a nuclear bomb. It was so stupid, too. They're telling us to crawl under the desk in case we have a nuclear explosion. I got a newsflash for them. Getting under the desk ain't going to help much. Okay.
Well, in the late 1980s, I went to FEMA and got about 15 different publications dealing with shelters and radiation and all those associated things. Not a single one, Ted, and I read them, not a single one told you how to rebuild society when you came out of the shelter. Not one.
I believe that. Now, John, you're a big proponent, or you know a lot about Planet X and about meteorites and about, you know, all the stuff that's happening in the cosmos. You've done a lot of research on this. I know you read a lot of the stuff with Sitchin and the rest of those guys. What's your take on all that now? I mean, you know, the Bob Fletcher basically, you know, went on a limb and said we're supposed to have the Nibiru come here by April of this, right now, this month. Obviously, Nibiru's not here, so Bob Fletcher's pretty much discredited himself. Now, I like Bob. The sad part about this is that we know there's something out there in the Oort cloud by Pluto. NASA's admitted to that now. But why are they building these massive underground shelters? Why are these catacomb shelters being built all over Missouri, where you live, and all over the Southeast?
Well, it's not just here. When I was running for Congress in 1996, there was some stories about Russia building underground cities in the Ural Mountains. And, of course, we've all seen the photographs of the massive, brand-new, unoccupied cities out in the western desert of China. Well, they're building these things in the United States, China, and Russia because they're going to need them, Ted. That's why they're building them. They're inland. They're at high elevations in the United States, in Russia, and in China, because these oceans are going to come out of their banks. I've located and debriefed more than two dozen U.S. Navy veterans who were at the classified briefings where they were told that as much. Gentlemen, during your lifetimes, these oceans will come out of their basins, flooding all coastal areas worldwide. So when it comes time to retire, you just might want to consider relocating to the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks. In fact, I'll be sending you, Ted, probably next week or so, an 18-minute demo tape to help promote me and my speaking, to get the word out to people that need to hear this. Go ahead.
Remember when we were there, there was a guy who had built that house up on the hill up there. I mean, he was above these open caverns, and he was like a CIA guy, and this was like a 100,000-square-foot home, and the pylons driven down in. I mean, it's in your area over there in Missouri. I mean, what do they know, John? I guess they know something's up. I guess they're all prepping this up, or there's going to be another command base or whatever.
The zip codes of the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks have tens of thousands of retired Navy people, retired intelligence people, men and women who work for the various lettered agencies, especially those connected to anything to do with intelligence. Now, they're there for a reason, because they have the inside knowledge. They know what's coming. And granted, all these other things that are possibilities, World War III, flu, or, you know, various virus pandemics, economic collapse. But the thing that trumps them all is the oceans coming out of the basins, flooding all coastal areas worldwide. That trumps everything. And we also, Ted, since June of 2010, the Gulf Stream stopped. And when the Gulf Stream stopped, it changed the course of the jet stream. There's three jet streams: Northern Hemisphere, Equator, and the Southern Hemisphere. The Northern Hemisphere is where most of the people are. The Northern Hemisphere is where most of the food is grown. And everything is topsy-turvy when it comes to weather and agriculture. In fact, I wrote a short article about this 2 weeks ago. A lot of those refugees coming out of Syria are not because of the war. They're coming out because of the massive drought that's completely destroyed agriculture in Syria and much of the Middle East. And when your agricultural segment of your economy is wiped out, it takes out a lot of the other economy with it. It's the worst drought in 900 years, Ted, in Syria as we speak.
But of course, we know the CIA has the capability with their chemtrails. They could do pretty much anything they want as far as stopping the weather, parking high pressure zones, using HAARP. They have the ability to completely create droughts or monsoons at this point. I believe a lot of this, John, is preparing us for this economic, socialized collapse that they're trying to force upon us. John, again, your website is thelibertyman.com, correct?
It is, thelibertyman.com, yes, sir.
I want everybody to check John's website out, thelibertyman.com. He's also got a show on the Republic Broadcasting from 6 in the morning until 8 in the morning, Central Time. So it's early, so you have to be an early riser, but you can always listen to it on the archives. I've known John for about 10 years. I've been a good friend of mine for 10 years. We've always gotten along really, really well. And yes, I have indeed been to his house, and he is who he says he is, and he's a man of character and a man of integrity and a man of his word. And that's something that you don't see a lot any longer. One more story real quick here, John. It's the Red Sea deal. It says, are Israelis and Saudis forming a joint military? The 2014 memorandum claims Israel hosted a number of Saudi officers and military training courses carried out at the port of Haifa base in Israel. In the Muslim press report, Israeli and Saudi Arabia are implicated in the formation of a joint operation in the Tyran Island, one of the islands handed over to Saudi Arabia after Israel's approval of the agreement between the Saudis and Egyptians. Are these guys getting together, or is this more obfuscation?
No, they have no choice. Saudi Arabia and Israel have a common enemy, that's ISIS. I hear these stories. I've never seen any evidence that Israel's involved in command and control of ISIS. I've seen no evidence of that at all. But there is a lot to, however, the concept that Saudi Arabia and Israel have a common enemy, and that enemy being ISIS. So, of course, they have to train together. They need to learn how to communicate together, learn how to coordinate the command and control, and all the logistical issues that go along with working together. And something good may come of that. Saudi Arabia is a kingdom basically stuck in the Middle Ages, quite frankly. But if something good comes of it, I'm all for it.
Okay, one more quick. So we're almost out of time, so let me get one more story from you. This is from the Economic Collapse blog. It says, ISIS sex slaves reveal the true horror of what's going on over in the Middle East with their 20 to 30 million slaves. Could you imagine being kidnapped, being auctioned off like a piece of meat, and being endlessly gang-raped every day by some of the most evil men on the entire planet for months on end? This is what ISIS is doing to millions upon millions of women. This is the entire Middle East, not just ISIS.
Well, what some of these women tell us when they get the freedom, the rapist will pray before they rape the woman, and then they rape her, and then they pray after they finish raping her. It's all part of their belief in the religion of police and the Quran, or as Obama would say, the Holy Quran.
Wow. By the way, the show today has been brought to you by HealthMasters.com. We produce the highest quality nutritional supplements in the world as far as I'm concerned. We use an FDA-registered drug laboratory to manufacture everything at the highest quality control standards possible. We even use climate-controlled positive air pressure rooms so there's no contamination of any of our products. We just produce the best you can possibly get. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. The show is brought to you by Health Masters. You can call our offices at 1-800-726-1834, or you can sign up for our free health newsletter at healthmasters.com. Absolutely no cost, and you can sign up for the newsletter, and you can learn a whole lot more about health and nutrition through that newsletter at healthmasters.com. Again, we are listener-supported because you support Health Masters, and so Health Masters does this show. And John will tell you, as he's been on many shows, as I have as a guest, many shows you wait around for about as long for the commercials as you do to be on the air. I know GCN is really bad about that. It's almost a half hour's worth of commercials for every hour you're on the air. In fact, what's interesting about that is when you hear a show that we do on this network, it's literally like listening to 2 hours of GCN without having to listen to infomercials and the nonstop commercials. I think you'll agree with that, won't you, John?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't had any time for a coffee break or anything here, Ted.
No, we don't do that. If I'm going to be on for an hour, we're going to give 2 hours worth of work. Here's another. I'm going to read this one to you real quick, and you'll like this one, John. Migrants, this is the Muslims again, completely devastate Denmark's holiday resort. This is Spisa. A completely devastated holiday resort near Varda in Brøns, Denmark. That is according to landlord Alice Lodersen, the result of her renting out her holiday cabins to about 100 Muslim asylum seekers through the state-sponsored immigration service. The mattresses have been jumped on and are soaked in urine. Bonfires have been made on my carpets, so there are large burn marks, and there's pee in all the corners. My large dining room table has been broken into pieces as firewood had been burned. Everything is torn completely apart, and only the lamps have survived, she says to Danish newspaper BT. The landlord has rented out of the house for about 5 months, and she has figured that her damages in over $1.3 million to repair.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I mean, think about that for a second. You're being forced by the government to rent to these guys.
Oh, she was forced to. It wasn't voluntary.
Well, I'm sure that it wasn't, because there was $1.3 million in repair, while the Immigration Service, I'm sure she's trying to get them to pay for it, estimates that it's only $500,000 in repair. I mean, wow.
Well, she needs a good attorney. I don't know the legal system over there, but she needs a good litigating attorney. That's a sad situation. It really is.
John, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Ted.
You're welcome. If everybody listening today, if you give Austin a call on Monday and congratulate him or send him an email that he's a daddy, that'd be great. I'll be on with Hagman and Hagman tonight for the full 3 hours. We're going to be covering lily waves, sound waves, and how they can actually control your thoughts through the electrical systems in the homes. So, again, thank you again for being on with me, John. God bless you guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, Ted, and congratulations, Grandpa.
Thanks so much, John. Go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. You can get our email addresses. God bless you, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.